We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
It's time for the Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Get insight into your favorite West Virginia University teams and hear exclusive interviews. The Mountaineer Insider Podcast is presented by Segra. Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. Now, let's go live inside our MSN studios. Here's your host of the Mountaineer Insider, Dan Zangrilli.
And hello again, everybody. We welcome you into our Mountaineer Insider Podcast. Dan Zangrilli with you here in the air chair. We hope you and yours are doing well considering the circumstances. We've got a good pod for you. I think it's going to be very informative. And we do have some good news for you as we'll chat with Deputy Director of Athletics, Kelly Zinn. She is one of the busiest women in college athletics right now. She is the football administrator in addition to being the right hand of Director of Athletics Shane Lyons. So she works in tandem with Coach Neil Brown and his staff. She currently oversees the construction project and the capital of improvements that are associated with football. And as we all know, pre-COVID-19, everything got torn up over there at the Pushcar Center. And good news is that construction is ongoing. It continues to make progress. As a matter of fact, in some cases, it could be just a little bit ahead of schedule. We've heard that things are going well over there, but I want to get that all quantified and take a deep dive into exactly what's going on and really how fortunate we are in that respect. Also, want to clear up some narrative issues that may be out there regarding the funding for that project and why, amidst the news that we had last week with staff reductions and furloughs and things of that nature, why you can't just take money from one area, especially as it pertains to facilities, and throw it into a different pot when you are having, as West Virginia AD Shane Lyons last week projected, a $5 million shortfall. So we get into the weeds a little bit because I think that that's really important to know, and we'll discuss that with Deputy Athletic Director Kelly Zinn. Also, some more good news as it pertains to what West Virginia Athletics and our partners at Panera Bread are doing to try to help out first responders. A really cool initiative, and if you are interested in helping out, then I urge you to listen to the back end of this podcast in particular, because there are a number of ways where you can help first responders throughout the state of West Virginia. But we also don't want to just continue to sugarcoat things, with good news. We want this to be real. We're not going to sit here and sanitize anything for you. And I think that was the direction that head coach Neil Brown went in his Zoom press conference that he's held just about every week with local and regional media. He was pretty real. This is a tough time, and now that we are into the third month, essentially, of this new normal that we have to deal with, albeit temporary, it doesn't feel that temporary, and it's starting to wear on the guys.
The last 2 weeks have been tougher on our guys than probably the previous six. We're at a point where they need something to look forward to. So much of their days and really year-long calendar is structured. And as we finished up that last semester, we're looking forward to a date. And hopefully that's coming in the near future.
That's just a part of his press conference. A couple of other highlights in the presser here that I want to get to. The pressure to play. That is something that has been, I think, weighing on the minds of every college football plan. One thing that, even though Neil is chomping at the bit to get going, he really does laud the way that things have been handled, and he does like the ability to wait as long as possible to get as much information as possible to make as informed a decision as possible.
The powers that are making those decisions, in our case, the Big 12 Conference, the football oversight, I think they're being prudent, and I think it's the right thing to do. If I'm not in that decision-making role, but if I was in that decision-making role, I'd be waiting as long as possible to make decisions. I think that's the right thing to do. That's been my feeling throughout this whole pandemic, is the longer you wait to make a decision, the more information you're going to have. Okay, so right now in the college football world is that May 31st date. Right now that's kind of the end-all to the guidelines that are in place, and I think the powers that be are going to wait as close to that date as they possibly can to give us some direction to move forward.
One thing that Neil really made an effort to emphasize, and I think a lot of other college coaches are in this camp, but Neil in particular is really at the forefront, and this is really where he gets it, folks. You know, he talks about the readiness of his players and where they are at. We talk about how they're maintaining physically throughout this stay-at-home time. Well, what about the mental health? That's a big concern to coach.
I'm more worried right now about our players' mental well-being probably than their physical well-being. I really am. I'm not a medical expert by any means, but I keep up to date to know enough about this to stay educated, hopefully. But my biggest concern right now is about our mental state rather than our physical state.
So those are some of the snippets from head coach Neil Brown's press conference on Zoom. He has been holding these Wednesday afternoons, and they have been packed with a ton of great content. And if you don't just want the condensed version, he spoke for over half an hour to reporters. So if you want that in long form, be sure to continue to subscribe to the digital platforms, WVU Sports. Many of you may have heard it already, but if you're just listening to this podcast in particular, maybe through your web browser, I urge you to actually get on a digital podcast platform, because we disseminate WVU Sports to a number of them. Whichever one that you think that you would like, whatever fits your fancy, go ahead and subscribe and get an alert, because we put out a bunch of content. So you'll be getting the audio version of these press conferences, among many other pieces of audio that'll drop that you can get alerts to. So if you want to listen to that in long form, it's all available to you. I urge you to please, if you could and think we are deserving, give us a like, give us a share, push out the content. We're trying to grow this podcast. If you'd like to rate it, give us a favorable review. We would be most appreciative, especially on those podcast platforms that do offer your feedback. That allows us to climb the ladder and spread the old gold and blue news. Well, speaking of news, some good news, and that's coming up next with Deputy Athletic Director Kelly Zinn. We'll dive into the capital improvements, and we will talk about some of the football logistics that she is overseeing right now through this pandemic. In addition to the construction that's going on, she's got her hands full, but she took some very valuable time to give us a lot of great information. A long-form interview with Kelly Zinn. Sports Business Journal, top 40 under 40. She's a rising star, and she's so important to this West Virginia University Athletic Department. Some exclusive nuggets here that I think that they're news pieces as well. So you're going to want to stay tuned for this. It all comes your way here on the Mountaineer Insider Podcast, all brought to you by our friends at Segra.
Lumos Networks is now Segra. Segra is proud to support the West Virginia Mountaineers, and we're proud to be investing in the future of Mountaineer Nation. Segra is one of the largest independent fiber bandwidth companies in the U.S. Our new dense fiber network provides the solutions, speed, diversity, scalability, and reliability West Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast have been asking and waiting for. All across our footprint, Segra is providing customers with local attention and the fastest, most reliable fiber network in the region. Call 833-GO-SEGRA or visit www.segra.com to learn more. We are Segra. Let's go, Mountaineers!
We welcome you back to the Mountaineer Insider as promised. Here's Kelly Zinn, West Virginia Deputy AD. And as promised, we're chatting with Kelly Zinn, who is one of the busiest people right now in the West Virginia Athletic Department. Kelly, I wanted to shift the conversation away from, you know, some of the negative headlines that really every university and athletic department is having to endure right now, because we have, I think, a pretty good thing going on right now, and that is the construction project over at the Milam Pushkar Center. And we've heard from a lot of folks that not only does work continue to go on, but progress continues to be made almost ahead of schedule because of the circumstances of COVID-19. First off, well, number one, thanks for your time. And secondly, with every trial, there is a blessing. And I suppose one of the blessings is that we're ahead of schedule and we continue to make progress with the backhoes and shovels in the ground.
Yeah, and Dan, thanks for, you know, having me on and giving me an opportunity to talk about some things that are positive in a time that is obviously very challenging for many. I don't know that I would say that we're so much ahead of schedule as much as we absolutely are on schedule, and the time along the way that we've lost a little bit, which has been minimal, we seem to be able to make that up. And so that target, it changes a little bit. Obviously, we have a strong pulse on what's going on over there, and we're speaking almost daily about things that are going on. We've had a couple bumps along the way, more so from a shipping and supply standpoint, and have made some very minor changes to things within the inventory that we just weren't able to get our hands on once the pandemic hit. But overall, it's, I think, exceeded a lot of people's expectations for the progress they've been able to make. The guys who are over there working have been incredible. Our support teams who are dialed into it and all the external parties working together obviously have done a really good job, even working remotely to keep kind of things going. And then March Weston in particular has just done a fantastic job of making sure that things are continuing to move over there.
So if you could paint the picture, because a lot of folks haven't been over there to be able to see, and a lot of folks haven't been on campus. As a matter of fact, Neil Brown mentioned in a call with reporters earlier in the week that he hasn't been over there in a couple of weeks. So can you kind of paint the picture as to where this is at, what phase it's in, what has been accomplished, and give that visual to folks, since we can't pop up a video here and do a slideshow or anything along those lines?
Sure. Well, at the moment, you know, it looks like a disaster because it's an active construction site. And so everything's completely torn up. You see a lot of ugly, and you see some things that are starting to come together, but you see progress. And so the biggest thing that's starting to take shape over there is we were able to add some square footage and gain some real estate and some of the renovations that are taking place, and you're starting to see the steel beams and the walls and the floors being pulled, and some of the bigger elements and the new structure that'll take place both with our players lounge at the bottom of the building and that Hall of Traditions, which is going to be a great opportunity for our fans to go in there and celebrate our history and bring a really cool element so not just game day in Morgantown, but some of the other times throughout the year that they really haven't had in the past. And so we've got 125 years of some really great stuff that's going to be able to be highlighted, and it's going to be good for everybody. It's going to be good for our fans. It's going to be good for the people of Morgantown and our state. It's going to be great for recruiting. And so you're starting to see that piece take shape. Outside of that, the front structure has completely been ripped off with the expectation to gain some additional square footage in that next phase and see that come to fruition. And then downstairs of what used to be our old locker room and some of those areas has obviously completely been gutted, and they are working on getting everything in place. Our goal is, and we expect at this point to meet that goal, is that this summer, probably closer to the end of July, early August, worst case scenario, that our locker room will be finished, our players' lounge will be finished, and our recovery area. Those three key elements will be done, and then work will continue, obviously, in the fall and next spring to completely finish up the building. And so you'll see the new Hall of Traditions that I just touched on, team meeting rooms, coaches' offices, and some of those things, more so from a functionality standpoint, that makes it a little easier for them to do business. All of that will then finish up in 2021.
Kelly Zinn, Deputy Director of Athletics, she's with us here on the Mountaineer Insider. It's great to hear that everything has gone seemingly so well. Have you run into any hang-ups or snags, or have you had to pivot and zig and zag? Because usually with any project of this magnitude, Kelly, there's always going to be an unknown. There's always going to be a surprise. You always have to think on your feet. Has any of that occurred, and do you anticipate anything like that occurring?
Yeah, we've had a few things along the way. You know, we had some situations where some of our subcontractors weren't able to work and keep full steam ahead based up on everything with the pandemic. And then, like I noted, we had some issues with some of our supplies and some tile that we had picked and, you know, things like that. But nothing astronomical. One of the things that we've really been fortunate in, and you hope and pray going into a project of this magnitude, is that you don't find something significant that cost you a lot of money or that you just didn't prepare for. It was an extremely old building that we were breaking into, and anytime you do that, you worry a little bit about piping and plumbing and utilities that had to be relocated and some of these things that you just aren't quite sure what exactly is in there until you get into it. And we've been really fortunate with that. And so they've been able to make a lot of progress, and we haven't had to make a ton of changes to things along the way. Anytime you do a project of this size and magnitude, you get into it and you find little things that maybe you say, oh, we didn't think about, you know, putting a sink here, or what about televisions on this wall versus there? And more so probably from a functional standpoint than when you're in that design phase. But I think overall, our architects and engineers did a really good job on the front end, and now we've got, you know, an incredible construction team executing everything, that it's going really smoothly in totality. So always going to be a few little bumps along the way, but people have adjusted and things have really moved at a good pace.
So how lucky are we that that is actually the case? Because, you know, I would imagine that there's a lot of other capital projects at other universities going on around the country. I could point to an example just up the road in Pittsburgh at Duquesne University. They're building a new basketball arena, and I think word came down not too long ago that that is not going to be able to be done on time. Considering everything that's going on, to be pacing and doing as well, quite frankly, as we are, how fortunate are we?
Oh, we're extremely fortunate. And I think what people hopefully understand is the decision to do this project was made for the health of our athletics department, for the university, and for our future. You know, there's a reason we didn't just have mounds of cash laying around that we said, hey, let's go knock out a bunch of walls and make a big building just to be able to do that. It was a need. And that's probably hard sometimes for people to understand if you're not seeing it from a true Power Five and looking at all 65 schools across the country. But we needed to do this, and it was something that came together for us due to the support of our donors and support of a lot of people and our future. And that decision was made. Looking back on it, to be honest with you, I think the timing of the project probably played favorably for it to continue. We were already well underway over there when things happened. And so we were never really faced with that question mark of do we continue, and instead we had to continue. You can't completely rip up your building and then try and shutter it later and stop that. At that point, we would have a building that we would not be able to function in, and to be able to attract recruits or expect people to go in there and work. We already had trailers on site to move people out of the building, and so we were too far along to even think about that. But had we been faced with that decision, I think we absolutely would have made the decision to continue to move forward. And I'm hopeful that that's something that people recognize, if they don't right now, that in the future, a good decision was made there, because I think for the health of our department and for positioning our program in a place where it is going to allow them to compete for championships and realize some of the real fruits of that labor, we'll see that in the future with our program.
Yeah, well, and that leads me to a question that Shane was asked by reporters last week when he announced the really difficult decisions that essentially, or maybe seemingly, every Power Five institution has made or is likely going to have to make, considering the shortfalls that everybody anticipates financially. Folks can say, well, why can't you just pause some of the construction projects? Well, you addressed that in your last answer, Kelly, or about anything else that you have planned down the pike. Why can't you just take out of that budget and throw it over to salaries and things of that nature so you don't have to make these difficult decisions? Unfortunately, and as I understand it, and as I think that Shane did a pretty good job of articulating, it's not that easy, because a lot of this money is earmarked because it comes from the gracious gifts of donors and friends of the university.
That's correct. And the easy answer to that is we can't, right? Some might say, well, can you go back and have those conversations? I think a question you have to ask yourself, and for those donors, is would they have otherwise given those funds if it weren't for these projects that we're looking at? And so in that regard, you don't know the answer to that question, but that's not how it works. And when they make that commitment, they make that commitment for a project. Does moving forward, now people's giving go to different areas, and will they be more likely to give to our general operating fund and the general places of our athletics department in unrestricted places for us to be able to have the flexibility to spend that money? Maybe they will, but I do believe that people give in a way, and the philanthropy of that comes through something that they wish to support for a reason and for something that's important to them. And that's why it's tied to a lot of these projects. I also think, again, that it goes back to this was a need for us. We were woefully deficient within the Big 12 in some of our areas with our facilities. Some of our facilities are fabulous, and we had different pockets of things that were at that marquee level. But then we had other areas that were really deficient. And I think we had some donors who know that and they see that, and they wanted to help that. And they saw the need in that and what that meant for our future. So we're so thankful for them and really appreciative of that. And I would venture to say that the large majority, if not all, would say, no, I absolutely needed to give to that area, and my money should be spent in that regard.
Yeah, that's a great point. As Kelly Zinn is with us, we continue our conversation with the WVU Deputy Director of Athletics. Kelly, in addition to everything that you have on your plate, with your normal job description, to with this capital improvement that's going on right now with football, you're also the football team administrator, and you have to essentially lead and work through the logistics of trying to get a football team through a pandemic and all of the facets of that, and that would include a return to not only play but participation here, what we hope is sooner rather than later. What can you tell us about what you're doing to undertake a massive effort in just that respect?
Yeah, well, at the moment, there's a ton of planning and conversations and prep work being done for when that call comes in that we get the green light to start to move forward. And so we spend a lot of time internally. I say often I'm all zoomed out because whether it's via Zoom conference calls or Microsoft Teams, we tend to spend numerous hours a day having those conversations and getting ready for what it looks like, what type of protocols are in place, and who all are involved in that. I will take a moment and give a nod to our head football coach, Neil Brown, who has just been absolutely incredible with his planning with this, with his foresight, with his ability to keep up with what's going on across the country, and working with the appropriate parties to make sure that goes as smoothly as possible once we get that call. And so right now, really, the first thing is there's we're precluded from allowing our student-athletes to participate in anything really through May the 31st. The discussion right now with the conference at the conference level is determining when that date is allowed for them to start engaging in voluntary workouts. Is that June 1? Is that June 8th? Is that June 15th? They haven't made that decision yet, but we expect that decision to be made pretty soon. And at that point, we're hopeful to start seeing our athletes being able to come in and use our facilities and work out and start to get ready for the season. And so while we certainly are talking and planning for July, when potentially we resume what's a normal camp, and then of course the fall and playing football, our current focal point is on those voluntary workouts and being able to open up our facilities in a safe manner to allow them to start to resume some level of activity.
What do you foresee as we sit here today, Kelly, as the biggest logistical hurdle if and when we're green-lighted to get this thing back up and running? Do you know that answer at this point? Can you even begin to hypothesize at this juncture?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're looking at pretty extensive movement in order to get to that point. So logistically right now, I'm looking at and working with the right people to essentially relocate our weight room. From everything that the medical team has shared with us is anytime we can be outdoors and in open air, we're going to do that. And so if we can take our weight room facility that's sitting at Milan Pushkar Stadium right now, and move some of that outdoors to allow for social distancing and allow for open air, we're going to do that. And so logistically, that's a bit of a challenge, right? You don't just flip a switch and weight room equipment starts moving to various places outdoors. And so we're working on that now and just getting everything in place from an infrastructure, mind you, an infrastructure that's already, you know, kind of a bit uprooted with the construction site, and making sure that we have everything ready for the guys when they get ready to go.
Kelly, final thing for you. Having said all of this, everything that we've discussed here over the last 17 minutes or so, I would assume that you share, I don't want to put words in your mouth, the optimism that we've heard from Commissioner Bowlesby, from Shane, and even President Gee about playing football this fall. Do you share in that? And I assume that you're planning for as much.
I do, yes. At this point, wholeheartedly, everybody that I've communicated with and counterparts at other institutions who serve in my role. Everybody's committed to playing football, and we're committed to doing it in a way that's as safe as it can be for everybody involved. But I think people are ready to see football come back and sports in general to return. And I'm hopeful for that day. I think the moment that happens and when we're all able to celebrate that will be significant for everybody involved. And so I look forward to that happening. And at least for today, I feel hopeful that in fact, will be the case.
Amen to that. That's a great outlook and hopefully gives a lot of folks some hope and we take an optimistic approach. Kelly, thanks so much for all of the great information and insight and most importantly, a great chunk of time here because I know that is a premium for you and many others at WVU Football. Thanks again.
Thanks, Dan. Happy to do it and stay safe.
Has some really good stuff there from Kelly. A lot of interesting notes there from the deputy AD, and we hope to have her back on here sooner rather than later as maybe things become a little more clear, and we do have a plan moving forward. I would imagine this is going to be like trying to turn around a Titanic on a dime. Not going to be easy, but if anybody is well equipped to lead this, I think it's Kelly, and she does, as you just heard, a terrific job, and she is working so very hard for WVU. Well, working hard for you are the first responders throughout the great state of West Virginia. If you've had somebody that has been affected by the COVID-19 virus, there's a strong likelihood that a nurse or a paramedic or any form or fashion of first responders has been instrumental in helping. So what we want to do is we want to help the helpers. And we'll talk to a guy by the name of Lee Harris, who is helping the helpers along with all of us here at Learfield. IMG College has launched an initiative in conjunction with WVU Athletics. How you can help a hero? Well, those details are coming up next. Do stay with us here on the Mountaineer Sports Network.
Lumos Networks is now Segra. Segra is proud to support the West Virginia Mountaineers, and we're proud to be investing in the future of Mountaineer Nation. Segra is one of the largest independent fiber bandwidth companies in the U.S. Our new dense fiber network provides the solutions, speed, diversity, scalability, and reliability West Virginia, the Mid-Atlantic, and the Southeast have been asking and waiting for. All across our footprint, Segra is providing customers with local attention and the fastest, most reliable fiber network in the region. Call 833-GO-SEGRA or visit www.segra.com to learn more. We are Segra. Let's go, Mountaineers!
Lee Harris heads up the ticketing department for WVU, and well, let him tell you exactly what he does and what we have going on, which you can find at WVUsports.com, an absolutely terrific initiative.
Well, Lee, good to talk to you. First off, Lee Harris from Learfield IMG College Ticket Solutions. Lee, explain to us kind of what you do and how you help Mountaineer fans get to games.
Sure. So I oversee a staff of five that we work with hand-in-hand with the MAC and our ticket office. And we basically go outbound and really try to connect with our fans to help them find the best ticket packages that we offer that suit their needs and think up other creative solutions for them.
And what you did is you teamed up with Learfield IMG College, the Multimedia Rights Division, and a senior account executive by the name of Stephen Ford. And if folks at WVUsports.com have seen the article floated around, whether it's on a Twitter timeline or just on the website itself, the athletic department, the ticket department, and Panera Bread, they've all teamed up. WVU Athletics, they announce a Healthcare Heroes program. Lee, tell us about it.
Sure. So when this whole COVID-19 pandemic started, what we wanted to do was we wanted to find a program that would provide our fans a platform to say thank you to our state healthcare workers who are continuing to go to work through the pandemic and keep the rest of us healthy and safe. And so we came up with this idea as an extension of our West Virginia Heroes program, which has traditionally been providing tickets to military and first responders and their immediate families over the last 2 years. And our Healthcare Heroes program allows us to work with one of our local partners in Panera Bread to provide box lunches to West Virginia healthcare workers now, and then also allows those workers to receive a ticket to a football game this fall.
Okay, very good. So explain the logistics of that and how folks can get involved to pitch in along with Panera Bread and how the program really works.
Sure. So basically, the way it works is if fans want to get involved and help out, they can go visit our website at wvugame.com or click one of the links from the Twitter or Facebook posts, and that'll take them to a portal to be able to donate increments of $20. And for each $20 that is donated, we're able to provide, like I said, a box lunch and a ticket to our healthcare workers.
So $20, fans get a Panera Bread box lunch as well as a football ticket to a game this year. This is for the Healthcare Heroes, I should say. So fans that actually take part in these donations, so for instance, $20 a donation, you do $100, that's five donations. For each donation, as I understand it, fans will be entered into a pretty special drawing, Lee. What's that going to be about?
Sure. So we wanted to provide, you know, the folks that do help us out with this program, sort of incentive and a thank you for, you know, for their time and resources and everything. And so what we're going to do is for each donation, we are going to enter fans into a drawing to win four VIP tickets to one of our games this fall. And so what that includes is four tickets to the game, as well as pregame sideline passes and pregame hospitality as well. There'll also be some other prizes, some gear and such.
Okay. So WVUgame.com, obviously a news article at WVUsports.com. Lee, well, I would imagine these are going to go pretty fast, so folks probably want to act now.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, the sooner that we can get that we can get this thing really going, you know, the better and the quicker we'll be able to help out the healthcare workers that we that we're working with.
Yeah, it's a great initiative, Lee. Hey, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time, maybe doing a recap to see exactly how successful this program is going to be. I anticipate it's going to be a big hit.
Good stuff from Lee Harrison. Good stuff from all of our guests. Special thanks to Kelly Zinn, the deputy AD, and Lee for joining us here on The Insider. We'll be back same time, same place here on WVUsports.com or whatever digital platform in which you're listening to us. Dan Zangrilli is always saying, Hail West Virginia, let's go Mountaineers. Be sure to like, share, retweet the content, rate it, give it a nice review if you think we are indeed worthy. And also a special thanks to our friends at Segra. Talk to you next time. Stay safe, everybody. This is the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
You've been listening to the Mountaineer Insider here on the Mountaineer Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. The Mountaineer Insider has been presented exclusively by Segra, powering organizations of all sizes with state-of-the-art voice, data, and internet services. And be sure to find the latest news and information on the Mountaineers at WVUsports.com. The following has been a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.